Clark. I directed, co-wrote, and co-produced A Christmas Story.
And Bob was kind enough to invite me, Peter Billingsley, who played Ralphie, to join him in the audio commentary. Here it is, Bob.
A Christmas Story.
Yes.
Christmas Story is actually a collection of the works of Gene Shepherd. There is no one story. It's an amalgam of stories. The only through line in the movie, as often noted by critics, is Ralphie's quest for the BB air rifle. And otherwise, it's a series of vignettes taken from the stories of Gene Shepherd. And also, he was on the college circuit. He used to tell these stories as he went.
Cleveland Street, how could I ever forget it?
There he is.
And here's the house we were in. This was in Cleveland, right?
In Cleveland, yeah. Yep. Great. That snow, every ounce of it you see was put down by us. No, it's actual water, frozen water. This is not the digital age, nor the high-tech. We put it down like frozen water.
And here's the world-famous Higbee's in downtown Cleveland.
And this is the actual Higbee's.
A famous department store. Who let us totally tear their place apart for quite a few weeks.
Downtown Holman was prepared.
We all had a blast working there because this was just post-Christmas, I think, and they had kept the downtown square in all this flavor for us. And we were shooting lengthy nights, so we were on. We as kids, we were sleeping all day and then up all night, which I'm sure was a handful for Bob.
Nope. As a matter of fact, it was joyful. Truly it was. All the kids were incredible. They were not only professional, but they were so enthused and intelligent. They were very good.
Bob was smart. He, during the casting process, had brought us all up to Canada when he had a lot of us in mind and worked really hard with us over, it might have even been 2 days, in a sort of screen test format to get just the right chemistry between kids. And we really genuinely liked each other, and that's sometimes rare. We all had a blast.
The odd story is that the very first young man considered for Ralphie was Peter Billingsley. Peter was already well on his way. What was that TV show you hosted?
Real People?
Real People. He was a host, Real People on one of the networks. I subsequently saw 8,000 other young men across North America for Ralphie, and one day I just sat down and said, I passed Peter over in my mind because he's too obvious. Everything was right. And I said, what the hell am I doing? I went and looked at Peter's tape. I said, I must be crazy. He is Ralphie. And I called him. Boom. I said, that's enough of that nonsense.
I had gone on an audition, and I liked the script, and you go on a lot of these things as kids. And then I never heard anything. I thought, I guess I didn't do that great a job.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was a couple months later that the phone rang.
Look at that. What the heck was I doing?
Still look the same.
Yeah. Scott Schwartz.
There it is.
And there's the Scott Schwartz story. That's where is Scott these days? He survived.
No, just like the rest of us.
There he is. Red Ryder himself. In his hand was the knurled stock of as coolly deadly-looking a piece of weaponry as ever I had laid eyes on.
There you are, Bob.
Oh, this is me. Never mind. Excuse me. We shot in Cleveland and in Toronto. We used Cleveland as our downtown, our house. Toronto was our interiors, essentially.
Which was difficult sometimes because you'd shoot, well, some of the scenes coming up we can talk about, but when you shot, you had an exterior shot that was playing like in a window.
Mm-hmm.
You'd shoot the outside part of that, and then 2 months later you'd be back on the stage trying to remember what you had done.
That's true.
Whereas this is in the stage, and then when we look out the window.
Yeah, the kicking and all the what's going on in front of us was staged, and then when you run outside, it was months earlier. It's an interesting process of film. This was a small budget film. We did not have a great deal of money to create a period 1940s when it was early 1983. So we had to use imagination and overcome the small budget. And that's a challenge filmmakers love. People tend to think of films featuring children as easy. They're anything but.
But the attention to detail was amazing. I remember even in the kids' rooms, all the toys were old. There was nothing faked. It was, everything was so well done. It was very easy to get into the mindset of it. Sales pitch.
Shepard's work is so edgy. It's got so much, I'd call warm-hearted cynicism to it. Darren was perfect casting.
How did you cast Darren?
Actually, who was first in mind was Jack Nicholson, believe it or not.
Really?
I had gone to meet with Jack. I had done a film called Porky's, which was a big hit. So I went to meet with Jack. They wanted me to do a film called Turn Left or Die at MGM, but they also gave Jack the script of Christmas Story. They didn't tell me till later that Jack really liked Christmas Story and might very well have done it.
Well,
they didn't want to pay Jack Nicholson money mm-hmm. for a Christmas Story. Jack is fabulous. I love him, but thank God he did that.
Darren is absolutely
Darren,
perfect.
He is the old man.
He sure is. Melinda, how did you cast her?
Off of
Close Encounters.
Close Encounters.
Yeah.
That's all I needed to see. Talked to her, and she wanted to do it, so we done it.
Name the great characters in American literature.
Victor?
Yes?
The Lone Ranger's nephew's horse?
Meanwhile, I struggle for exactly the right BB gun hint.
You would read a lot of this stuff to me. Off camera.
Did I?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't remember that.
Because Gene would, but sometimes Gene would...
Oh, the alpha.
Come
oh, yeah.
and go, the narration.
The narration,
the script
of course.
Doing it, yeah, which was challenging because...
Yeah, no, I
don't have a lot of dialogue in this movie.
I remember taking it. You do a lot of reacting to in your head.
Yeah, so much of it is just all this stuff thinking. And Bob was great.
Yeah, I remember. Literally, the work is, although I co-wrote the script, it's substantially comes from Shepard's work as he created originally. Except oddly enough, the narration. We probably worked the narration more because we had to fit various pieces.
Mm-hmm.
All these little events are all part of the short stories or part of his... I remember at Princeton he told the... I forget what the story was, but it was 40 minutes. It's one episode.
But this is based on a short story in the book In God We Trust, All Others Pay Cash, right? Or they're all books? Because he also wrote A Fistful of Fig Newtons?
Yes. It's stories from all the books and stories that never were written from his college tour. I first turned on to Shepard and I was in Miami where I was living at the time, and I got 1968, and I was driving to Coconut Grove and he started to tell the story of the tongue sticking to the light pole.
Mm-hmm.
I was going to pick up a date and I said, my God, this is wonderful. I'd never heard of him. I got to hear this. I'll just drive around the block. Well, he took 40 minutes to tell that story, the tongue. I met a very...
You were a little
picked
late.
Picked up a very irate date who didn't give a crapola who Gene Shepard was, and I determined at that time I will do a movie of this man's work. And you know why this movie got made?
Why?
Because of the much despised Porky's.
They're starving people in China.
Mothers know nothing about creeping marauders burrowing through the snow toward the kitchen, where only you and you alone stand between your tiny, huddled family and insensate evil.
As long as I got old Blue. Well, what have we got here, folks?
Well, we figure he's Black Bart, Ralph.
Well, just me and my trusty old Red Rider carbine action on the shop range model air rifle. Lucky I got a compass in the stock. Well, I think I better have a look here.
Oh, he's not.
Now, you were always cool. You were underplaying all the time. And look what you're underplaying, too. You can't overstate
more. Right.
But that's classic Shepard. That's...
Now, here's one of these things where we were in the studio for one side and then not for this shot.
That's
we're
right.
outside, and then the reverse...
Is in the studio.
Is in the studio, which was
right.
obviously a couple months. So that is
months,
then shot a couple months later.
Yep. That so happened continually.
That happened on a ton of the shots in the movie.
that special effects spark on the guy's butt was really a spark on the guy's butt. No CGI.
Oh, that's curious. Not a lot of special effects to talk about in the movie.
No. If it's a special effect, it was done.
How did you do the spark on his ass?
I think it's amazing.
83 technology. This is a pretty impressive stunt. This one looked a little painful.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
I think he missed once and then he got...
Yeah, he did. He fell off.
Yep. He nailed it.
Here you go, Bart. But if you do come back, you'll be pushing up daisies.
Xing out the eyes was a... Everything was a trial. Good spit there, Peter.
Thank you. Now, these fantasies, we had a lot more that didn't make it into the film.
Some men are Baptists, others Catholics.
There was a Flash Gordon sequence that we did. And probably a good chunk of the budget went into that thing because it was a huge set that they had built on the other side, and they had me in a little bikini, a little silver bikini, and I was palling up with a space hero.
Right.
Taking on a big alien with a gun.
I cut it. I had complete control of the film.
Mm-hmm.
In the first running of the film, it should have been cut. It really, mm-hmm. it wasn't, we were storied out and we were ready to get on with our adventure. We also cut a scene with Miss Shields coming to the house to...
Oh, that's right.
...to tell them what an incredible kid you were and why you should get a Red Ryder BB rifle. And we had a Santa Claus sequence, too, also on the roof.
Oh, for Christ's sake, open up that damper, will you? Who the hell turned it all the way down? Again? Oh, blast it.
No,
twerk, rattle, snap, rattle.
No, Gene would write. Gene, for me, wrote this when I beat up the bully. He specifically wrote.
Yes.
And I remember the beginning. There's a couple things in there that will not get out of my head. It was Cradden Rat, Stinkin' Hot Poffin' Snogger.
That's it.
And he wrote that out, and he wrote three cards and forced me to memorize it all.
I told him to fake.
Don't just try to get through it.
Yeah, you've got to actually. This is a lot of people's favorite scenes here.
I think a lot of people can relate to this.
There's so much truth that Shepard caught. You know, he grew up in Indiana, and he...
Well, that was the thing about him. He wasn't writing... He was writing based on what he'd lived.
Yes. With a peculiar Shepard's
spin.
is right.
Come on, Mom! We're going to be late!
Hurry, Ralph!
My kid brother looked like a tick about to pop.
What? What is it? What is it?
For his audience, he clearly was his appeal wasn't an intellectual audience, although the New York show WR was pretty popular, but PBS rather, but I think he would have a select audience, but I think he'd be just as relevant. The books are.
His themes are timeless.
Yeah. He's touching on classic Americana without... We never allow any sentimentality. We may get some affection, and it's full of warmth, the whole thing is, but it's got an edge all the time.
That's real.
Someone wrote a review saying just that. You think this is a sweet little story, and, well, Mom is, you know, kicking the crap out of Dad, and Dad's kicking the crap out of the kids, and the kids just went on like that. But everything was done with that sense of heart. It's a pay-on to America, it really is, but not in a corny way. Yeah, that shocked people, smart ass. They didn't, nothing was expected. They didn't expect, you know, fudge, and didn't bother anybody.
Because he once saw a guy come to a railroad track on a bet, and the fire department...
Well, you just wanted us to spend some time together and just act like kids. It was never written.
Yeah.
It was never.
This stuff was always semi-improvised. We got it down first before.
That's right. I haven't seen the movie in a while. This is actually fun.
Yeah.
Do you always watch it every year during the 24 hours?
I tune in and out.
Tune in. And just check out a couple minutes.
It amazes me that someone told me, I read it in Variety, that 38.4 million people tuned in on that sometime during that 24 hours. Do you have any idea? That's a sixth of the nation. 38.4 different people at different times. That's Cleveland. Oh, no, that's in...
Was that in Canada?
That's in Canada. That's up I forgot the name of the town, about 30 miles north of south of Toronto.
We all kind of had a crush on her.
Yep, she's a sweetie.
We thought she was terrific.
She's the wife of Don Shabib, who was a director, Canadian director.
Good morning, class.
When did we do this? This was in a real school?
This was in a real school, yeah.
That when it was down over the Christmas break?
Yep, that same school that we just saw the exterior of.
Mm-hmm.
The kids were remarkably good. They following their leader, Peter, but they were amateurs. They had very little experience. Ace of test pilots, the teeth. It's interesting when you're doing a movie and not responding to a studio, they had no interest in it at all. We didn't even send them daily, so essentially the film that you see is exactly the film that...
This was pretty fun. This is a fake pole.
Yep.
And there's a little tiny hole in it that was sucking air. You guys did it for another great 1983 special effect that worked very well.
Yes, it did. They were... Everyone always asks, how'd they do that? How'd they make it stick? That must have hurt. I said, no, it's just frozen air, a little pipe there. And look how colorful you guys are. You all look like you've got good tans.
Freezing.
Yeah.
Cheeks are red.
Yeah.
There was nothing faked about the cold.
Dog dare.
I triple dog dare you.
Schwartz created a slight breach of etiquette by skipping the triple dare and going right for the throat.
All right, all right.
Come on, Karen.
Well, go on, smartass, and do it.
I'm going.
Flick's spine stiffened, his lips curled in a defiant sneer. There was no going back now.
There it is. It gets stuck right on the suction cup, and there's a tiny little hole.
Pulling it, yeah.
That's just blowing it
in. Doesn't look like it at all, though.
No, and the pole looks good.
You come around just enough so you couldn't see there was a hole there.
But it looks really good, especially when he pulls back.
Yeah, and he really pulls back, too. Scott was very good here.
Well, all these kids are great.
Yeah, they were. Rang. What are you going to do? The bell rang. There's no arguing with that. You could be
leaving
dead.
Leaving your buddy behind.
We'd have it.
Come back! Come back!
Where's Flick? Has anyone seen Flick?
Flick? Flick who?
He was at recess, wasn't he? Ralph, do you know where Flick is?
There's so much unstated in the work. There's the whole dynamic between the teacher and obviously.
But you guys lived with this story for a long time.
Yes.
And Bob was so well prepared when he came, and every morning knew exactly what he wanted, and Gene was there, and they would discuss everything. And it was
there for the first two or three weeks. Then after that, I managed for Gene to go home. I loved him, but he was obsessive.
He was there for the studio for a lot of the scenes in the house.
Yep.
And when Bob would go use the restroom or something, Gene would come running over and say, "Now listen, you got to play it like this." I wrote it, and Bob would come back in and say, "Get away from him." But they were both so invested. You guys had really lived with this a long time. You'd worked so hard.
Oh, yeah.
And the collaboration was great. Yeah, I think when you finally got here, like a lot of great stories, you really knew what you wanted to tell.
Yeah.
And Bob's take on Ralphie and on the world and on everything was just so right on. It was a really easy job to walk into and a fun job. And I had leeway to play, but you really knew what you wanted.
Yeah. No, it was,
and you had such a clear-cut vision for the story.
And it comes remarkably from Shepard's work. I mean, it's altered, of course. There are inspirations from the actors and some from myself. But essentially, the core of Shepard's work is here. There are new real characters. All the characters exist in his work. The attitudes are... This satirical tone is very unusual for children's films. It's not really a children's film. It's Shepard's actually very much an intellectual perception. There's a whole unstated life between the teacher and the three baddies. You guys are obviously her challenge.
He has refused to say who. But those who did it know their blame. And I'm sure that the guilt you feel is...
I was always amazed at what got laughs. Just that little look you gave around like me. Mm-hmm.
Definitely wasn't me. That was an easy look to give. I've given that look a lot in life.
I saw it, oddly enough, painfully enough for me, Christmas Story did not play in theaters during Christmas. It came up.
When did it leave? It was originally around Thanksgiving or something?
It opened the week before Thanksgiving. It doubled its business over Thanksgiving. Then there were the two slowest weeks of the year. But they waited so late that they had no theaters. We did not play during the 2 weeks of Christmas, except in about 100 theaters in the United States. And that, of course, was a critical movie. Would have actually done quite well in its initial release. It almost recouped in release, but didn't quite. The video made it.
It's almost a blessing in a way because it gave people who didn't have a chance to see it,
yeah,
you know, the opportunity.
It's
now
a couple
of
years later, it was about
when things started.
86 or so, when VHS started to catch on, that it took off and it went crazy. Just as Alan Ladd told me, he said, "Bob, you don't think we're making a sequel because we lost money on this movie, do you? We did the 1993, My Summer Story." The sequel,
which then the title changed, right?
It was My Summer Story. They changed it to It Runs in the Family, which I see Michael Douglas has done a movie called It Runs in the Family.
Yeah,
but they changed it back to My Summer Story. But I saw it on Star the other night, and it was It Runs in the Family again.
Farkas, what a rotten name. We were trapped.
Here's Zach. He went on to star with Titus, and Titus...
He's doing really well, yeah. He was a great guy.
And the young boy who played him in the sequel also is doing very well. He was in
Which one?
Apple Pie.
Yano?
Not Yano. Another boy altogether, 10 years later, played Scott Farkas. And we had a new
villain. Right.
And that lad also has gone on. There's Yano. I never heard of Yano again.
I wonder how much Gene was tortured as a kid. Yeah.
He must have been the boy.
It's just pretty meaningful stuff in the movie.
We were rehearsing at my house in New Bedford, and we found Ian the last, day before we started. I didn't find him after all those months. That's correct.
A bully, a toady, or one of a nameless rabble of victims.
All right. Who's next?
In the jungles of Kidton, the mind switches gears rapidly. Weeks ago, I had sent away from my little Orphan Annie's secret society decoder pin. Oh, skunked again.
It was interesting. Twice this has happened. I was at a restaurant in New Hampshire with my family over Christmas, and we were listening, and what's this we're hearing? We all got silent in a booth, about two booths on the cross from the other side from us. They were Christmas Story lines, obviously. I got up and I looked, and there was a mother, a father, a boy your age, and a boy Ian's age, and they were doing the whole movie. And I called the waitress over. She said, "Oh, yeah, the Kearsons are here every Christmas. This is a ritual of theirs to come." And they sit and have dinner and play out the entire movie, every part.
I guess they really watched that 24 hours straight, and learning all those lines.
And that was before that. And that happened also again in a restaurant in Santa Monica. Again, a family playing the whole movie.
I had enough difficulty with some of the monologues.
Yeah. These dogs were...
The dogs were real.
Yeah.
They were a little scary.
They were a challenge. Those
they
guys.
Were.
A major prize! A major prize! I won! Look at that! Look at
I get a lot of people, though, coming up and saying, that was me, that was my life, that was my family.
Yes. Yep, absolutely.
And people relate to the experience, even if it wasn't a gun, if it was something, they just relate, I think, to the sort of timeless theme of desiring something and the real family life and the obstacles you face in trying to get it. And I had a stewardess come up to me recently and say, you look like the kid in this this great Christmas movie. I said, oh, yeah? She said, you sort of sound pompous when you're like, well, actually, it's me.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, but it couldn't have been you because the movie was made in the 1940s. I said, oh, okay. Ah. So you really sold them on the period, I guess.
You go for a guy who don't care hot about a bowling alley.
How are they going to deliver a bowling alley here tonight?
Well, they could send the deed, for Christ's sake. I didn't expect they were going to send a whole damn bowling alley. Yeah,
it was really for the times. Someone wrote an article, or some reviewer, elitist sort of type from a magazine, that this was the first dysfunctional, truly dysfunctional family. Since started, I don't think that's quite true. There were others, but this was more dysfunctional than most.
Oh, Randy, don't play with your food. Eat it.
Okay.
Starving people would be happy to have that.
Try some more red cabbage.
Wasn't Ian's mom helpful in this too? When she made him laugh.
Yes.
She was off.
Yep.
What was he into? Like he was into farts, and she was making fart sounds off camera to make him laugh.
He's a great laugher.
Yeah, and then he just lost it.
15 years.
Meatloaf, meatloaf, double beetloaf. I hate meatloaf.
These are such simple things when you think about it. I mean, what's going on here? There's just a little palaver around the dinner table. There's nothing, just a sketch of America, but they caught it.
That's right. Oink, oink. Now, show me how the piggies eat. This is your trough. Show me how the piggies eat. Dear good boy, show me how the piggies eat.
He loved this. He loved doing it.
Yeah.
Everyone's reaction was pretty genuine.
Yep.
It wasn't. Darren was so great. I'd never worked with someone who knew so much about everything. I mean, any question on the set, Darren had faced it. He had been through it. He was such a pro, and didn't have to tell you that he was.
Absolutely.
He just was so confident and just knew absolutely everything.
And he knew full well there had been about four or five other actors projected. I met him off the plane. He said, who's a person in a sense to put me in this part? And I was able to say me, because I was asking for him from the first over some of the bigger name actors they wanted.
This is, I think, my favorite part in the movie.
Yeah.
I mean, he can't read. This makes me laugh. You know that they're selling these now on the internet?
Yeah, I've heard.
I don't know if you've seen
the lamp. Lamps. Oh, it's a big business, yeah.
You can, if you go to any search engine, type in, like, leg lamp Christmas toy, it comes up. It's not cheap.
No. Oh, no, it's a big business.
It's a leg lamp.
Yep. This end up, that always got a laugh. Fragile.
My favorite line.
Yeah, I came up with that on the...
Did you?
On the spot, yeah.
Nicely done, bro.
Bragging here. I contributed.
Okay.
So little, it's all from Shepard's work. His end up. People catch those things. He doesn't... I mean, we did it for that effect.
There we go.
That's another interesting case of the double set thing, the little piece looking out the door.
That's right.
Is in Cleveland.
And then coming back in the whole part. And actually, Bob's cameo is coming up.
Yep.
Probably. Yep. Do you still appear in every film that you do?
No. No, I
didn't stop.
Yeah.
Before the last?
I hadn't really done it up to, even up to here, I had not been in every film. I wasn't in Murder by Decree, I don't think, no. I wasn't going to get on with Crystal Palmer, James Mason, Donald Sutherland, Sir John Gielgud. Among the half a dozen other great English actors. Thought Zaza and Zatrera's score was also inspired.
Yeah, you can now get one of these online for yourself.
Yep.
It was pretty nice, actually.
Yeah. It was quite well done.
My mother was trying to insinuate herself between us and the statue.
Holy smoke, would you? Do you know what this is? This is a lamp!
It was indeed a lamp.
Isn't that great?
It was indeed a lamp.
What was this from? Was this all Gene?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Hey, hold it.
The old man's eyes.
This whole thing is one vignette from one story ending with her breaking the lamp.
Is the lamp based on anything?
Nothing that I know of. I think he... There were leg lamps, yeah. They did exist. Plugs were my invention. I remember this very well.
This is like my dad.
Yeah. Those are the touches that so many people relate to. Because that's their life. I grew up, my early childhood was in Birmingham, Alabama, which is very much like Indiana, where Shepherd grew up, as a matter of fact. Both coal towns, steel towns.
I know you couldn't have expected the success of the movie, but after it had come out in the initial run, were you disappointed, or were you still always hopeful that it would be discovered and it would eventually find its way?
I was disappointed only because we had a hit. We had only to play. We had 3 weekends of Christmas that year. Sometimes you have only 2, so we would have done $6-7 million each one of those. We would have been it grossed about $18 million at the box offices and would have ended up doing 45. Something like that, which in 1983 would be a hugely successful movie, especially for a movie that...
But even 18 for a $4 million movie is a hit.
For getting to play only 4 weeks, and sure. 2 of those weeks being the weakest weeks of the year, yeah. It was sad. But to get the call the weekend the Christmas holiday started was pretty shocking. We're not playing. What? A Christmas
story? There he is.
Yeah.
That's Bob Clark.
That's the fat guy.
Walking into the scene.
My name is Swede. What is that?
It's a major award. Character that Bob created.
Shucks, I wouldn't know, Dad. It looks like a lamb. What is a lamb?
A lot of people caught the fact that the guy was named Swede and had a southern accent. And it's been on the websites a lot. It's mentioned.
The entire neighborhood was turned on.
Oh, you should see what it looks like from out here.
Narration had virtually disappeared from movies about the time when Christmas Story came out. I think there'd been one. I can't remember what it was right now. And then a flood of them came.
Do you like the Wonder Years?
Wonder Years is a bitter story. They first auditioned Shepard to do that and introduced him to Spielberg. Steven was a big fan of Christmas Story, and he wanted to meet Shepard.
Mm-hmm.
So he had lunch with him and with his wife. And he called me and he said, Bob, how'd you get along with this guy? And I said, I know exactly what you're talking about, Steven, but Gene and I were together on this venture for 10 years before,
mm-hmm.
So we had a rapport. But yes, he's a...
He was an eccentric guy.
Yeah, he's invasive. He's not nasty. Just, I think...
I always just sensed that he really cared about it, and I know it was difficult for you because he was there on the set vocalizing his thoughts, but I was sort of charmed by it because I knew he just really, really wanted this film to be great, and it was his words.
It wasn't what he did on the set. It's the pulling aside, and I had to have him go home for a while. Just was impossible.
I don't know. Morgan.
This we invented. This is not literally in the stories.
These were fun to play.
Yeah.
Because you got to sort of overact in contrast to really your direction of playing everything down, and everything is played very, very real, except for these chances that you get to get a little bit bigger.
You're in your fantasy mind, isn't it?
But it really separates the two.
Rider, BB gun, compassing the stalk and the sting. Poetry, sheer poetry, breath and aim of myself. Oh, happy making dwelling.
These scenes were cut, so they actually, the negative was probably cut, which I took them out at the last minute.
How many days shooting was it? Do you remember total?
I think we had like 48 days. We weren't pressed for, I made, even on that small budget, I made sure we had the time.
It was a pretty tight schedule.
Everybody was, well, because restrictions for your ages, and that certainly cut down, and you dominate the film. There's not a tremendous amount of adult footage to make time up on. It's usually with the kids, so so our hours were restricted.
Get in the car.
Oh, no.
If we don't hurry, we're going to miss all the good trees. Go on.
My mother was about to make another brilliant maneuver in the legendary Battle of the Lamp. The epic struggle which followed lives in the folklore of Cleveland Street to this very day.
Don't want to waste electricity.
Come on, Ralphie. Get in the car.
Underneath this is a guiding spirit, and there is heart, there is feeling. Mother's, she's struggling to survive the old man's eccentricities. Those were the real Toronto trolleys, which were great.
Yeah, I think even though the family appears a little bit abrasive almost in the film, or the parents seem distant, I'd have never gotten a lot of comments from people to that.
No.
I mean, I can sort of observe it sitting here looking at it, and the dad does seem gruff, but you know what? It's real.
Yeah.
And I think the sort of Brady aspect of families is not real.
Yeah, in the end, the old man comes through, doesn't he? He does get to be the air rifle. He does actually manage to be there when it counts. He has this self-absorption that is true of a great many men around the world, not just Americans. He has such a facade of what I like with his discipline is so his heart's not in, he's not a disciplinarian. He talks the game, but he doesn't walk it, and being
he leaves
fiercely,
out to mom.
Yeah.
It was pretty much a pushover.
Yeah.
You get some soap in your mouth, but that's sort of the way it was in my house as well.
Fiercely anti
I didn't want to get punished by dad. As long as I got mom, I knew I could deal with it.
Yeah.
Talk my way, I could start a couple tears.
Right.
Ease off a little.
It's fiercely authoritarian, as anti-authoritarian as I am. I kind of like his approach to authority. He doesn't really want to have to deal with it.
No, but he is there for the kids.
Oh, yeah, he is. He's
just like even here.
Mm-hmm. See, he's
offering the chance to come.
Everything you notice about the old man, his spirit, he's a fighter. I mean, the old man doesn't quit, and that's what I think people respond to an American character, is that nature. Hey, he ain't going to give up. They're not going to beat him.
Do you want to talk a little bit about the time period and where? Because it's never really, I mean, it's Midwest, and I guess it's just post-Depression, is that right, within a couple years?
I said it in my mind is basically as close to World War II. Like 1940 is my idea of when it is. That's when the cars are set for. We have a couple of older cars because we could get them. But it's amorphously late 30s, early 40s.
Mm-hmm.
It's in
Indiana comes up the most.
Oh, yeah, it's clearly Indiana. Everyone knows Shepherd's. That is the...
Although it's never really specified in the film.
No. But it's from the name of the places from the
right.
books and his stories.
Oh, not that way. Come on, Rat Trap. Pull it like this, eh?
Oh,
like this. I want to put the nuts in it.
Okay,
there we go. And we got it!
You guys had me do this both ways. Saying both fudge and...
Did we really? Uh-huh. That was pretty bold of me. I don't know what...
Well, not that it was going to go in, but I think to read in slow motion so you could cut out at the last...
Oh, right.
At the last moment.
That's right. Yeah, here it is.
Oh.
Yeah, you could have said either one.
Yeah, that's right.
It's funny. He was very bold for some. It was not... Didn't bother anybody.
And you cut away just before the K came.
I was so surprised that there was not some... outrage at this, and there was virtually none.
And I say son of a bitch, too.
Yeah, oh, that gets a huge laugh.
Yeah.
That I knew we'd get away with, okay? But just the usual mother you'd expect, they almost none of them didn't happen.
Did you get a lot of license with this movie?
Yeah, because I think they recognize that this is the way it is.
What surely awaited me.
Everything go all right?
Yeah.
8 minutes.
You know what your son just said?
No, what?
Let's see what he said. Honey!
This scene coming up, I used to get... I used to get that a lot.
Yep. Did you really?
Yeah.
I actually have
that. It was my mom's way of doing it. That was a big bar of wax, though.
Yeah.
Which was nice to chew on.
After dinner flavor. Heady, but with just a touch of mellow smoothness. Life Boy, on the other hand.
You ready to tell me? All right. Where did you hear that word?
I think a great many people relate to the Life Boy experience, and I think Life Boy was the worst soap. I never was soaped up, as you said you were, Peter.
I was soaped up a lot.
But we copied this piece of Life Boy very carefully here. This is the authentic, it's a replication, but we couldn't find the actual product. But
you found a lot of the products, a lot of the boxes and frame.
Oh, things. Yeah, almost everything.
The toys, which we talked about earlier.
The phones. We were meticulous in recreating.
Which is pretty amazing on a small budget movie.
Yeah, they're like characters.
Mrs. Schwartz, do you know what Ralph just said?
And I like the fact that we are getting it across that this word was around in 1940. We have this idea of this idealistic... puritanical.
Mm-hmm.
We never were. That was a
12-year-old boys were saying it back then too.
Porky's was also saying the same thing. That was the 50s. It was
right.
The same in the 30s for Porky's as well. As it was funny, a reviewer, I forget who it was, a very famous LA reviewer pointed out, say, you know, Porky's, the Christmas Story, everybody makes such a deal of how different it is.
Mm-hmm.
Let me tell you, these kids are the same kids. These little boys
it's
here
just grown up.
Are clearly going to grow up to be the boys and Porky's.
Right.
The same guys.
This afternoon. I want you getting right into bed, and I don't want to see any lights on. You are being punished, so no comic book reading. I'm going to come in there, and if there are any lights on, but don't you give me that look. You're going to get it.
Three blocks away, Schwartz was getting his. There has never been a kid.
A lot of the tears were real. Pretty much all of them were. I remember taking a couple minutes, sort of stepping off and crying.
Yeah.
This was pretty difficult to do.
Yeah.
This was a little hot. There's tiny, tiny little pinpricks in the black.
Oh, really?
That was just enough to see a little bit. Because I was walking into my eyesight's horrible anyway. I was walking into furniture.
Darren's so great with that. Scene. Yeah, well, yeah.
Come on in, Ralph.
That attitude, like I hadn't seen him for 20 years. Who asked for a handout there?
I brought you to this lowly stage.
Please tell us, no matter how it hurts, what did we do?
No, I can't.
Oh, please, Ralph, I must know what we did. What brought you to this?
Please.
You had talked about it before, Bob, but one of the fun things that, from our standpoint, that the studio was not involved was that, you know, in terms of script pages or what anyone wanted to try, we just had so much freedom. And you felt sort of like you were inside of a bubble. Unlike some other studio pictures that I had done before this, which didn't go anywhere, you couldn't change a word.
Well, I managed to get along. Somehow.
Only I hadn't used Life Boy. There it is, yeah. So those are the kind of moments that we could create. No, we didn't have that.
You had
problem.
The freedom to do what you wanted to.
Oh, yeah. No, this was...
It was really nice.
My film. I didn't have to... Same with score. Most everyone working on the film are people who've been with me for all my films.
Mm-hmm.
To Reg Morris, the DP, had done all my films except one, I think, and
your
Paul
editor.
Zarzan, yeah. And my editor, Stan Cole, he's still with me, my last film.
Bob's very loyal.
All my key people, my assistant director, Kenny Gotch, they're still with me. 20 years later.
You don't use the same actors in a lot of stuff, though, do you?
Yes, I do. I repeat actors a lot, too. Darren's been in 5 of my films.
Interesting.
Teddy was first in Murder by Decree, so this is her second... And she was in the sequel to, she was in My Summer Story as well.
She was great.
Yeah,
she was a lot of fun.
Sweet lady.
She looks period. She looks like she's from the time.
Yeah. Even the fruit. Happy New Year. Yeah, Ruben Fried, our art director, we had long sessions where we talked about just how intensely accurate we wanted to be with the slightest detail, even that backing.
Mm-hmm.
All these touches, that bridge is from Cleveland. I got the chance to really show that. There's the street. Those neighbors let us put the snow down all night for 24 hours.
You brought in real snowplows, right?
Snowplows from the ski resort. And these people who went to them said, folks, we will be running, and they're loud, and they said, they were incredible. They said, oh, we understand.
But it was sort of a party, because a lot of the people would come out of the houses, and they would watch.
Up
and
to 10 or 11, but around 2 or 3, it was less of a party.
It was really fun.
6 in the morning, that's the only way you get the real sense that that's...
But unlike shooting in certain places, they were really, really thrilled to have us.
Yeah, absolutely. It was the
whole city was.
Yep. It was joyful.
From closing off the downtown.
They'd had films in Cleveland, but not a great many. And actually, a very cool city. I like Cleveland. It was much more sophisticated than I expected. That radio, we searched months to get that radio.
Did you?
It was surprising. I thought they'd be everywhere, but they weren't as easy to find as...
And this decoder pin is real, too.
Yep.
Everything was.
That's the actual...
It's the actual decoder ring.
Only members of Annie's secret circle can decode Annie's secret message. Remember, Annie is dependent...
There was so many Annie decoder things like that. It was amazing how much that was a part of the culture of the times.
Well, now it's sort of easy to find that stuff on eBay. But back in 83, you just didn't have the chance.
Yep.
You guys searched high and low.
Well, I could tell that tonight's message was really important.
325, that's a message from Annie herself, remember. Don't tell anyone.
Get the rights to Annie. This is a famous scene. I just brought to my attention many, many times.
What, the scene here?
Yeah, the payoff.
Mm-hmm. The first word is But it works. It goes back to what we were talking about, that it walks that line and nobody's really said anything about it.
No. Not a word.
Come on, girls. I'll be right there, Mom.
You also have the sense that this is a real life, these people. That's what happens. The little kid's got to get into the John, and Mom is going to get into...
Wants to put dinner on the table.
Oh, will you please come out? All right, Mom. I'll be right out.
I was getting closer now. The tension was terrible. What was it? The fate of the planet may hang in the balance.
No, Andy, don't go. I'll be right out.
Almost there. My fingers flew. My mind was a steel trap. Every pore vibrated. It was almost clear. Yes, 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 yes.
Be sure to drink your Ovaltine. Ovaltine? A crummy commercial? Son of a bitch.
That brings the house down. It's just amazing the response to that. And like I say, nobody... And this was totally unintentional, this cut from the pot to the pot. I didn't... It was a transitional time cut, but I wasn't trying to make that point, you know. He pulls up the pot to go to the pot, and then we pull up the pot on the cabbage.
Yeah, it works.
I took credit, yeah. I pretended it was brilliantly thought out.
It all planned out. You were meticulously... prep though. I remember you work on the
cards,
on the index cards.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you'd have it and you could walk us through in the morning everything that was going to be shot and where the cameras were.
And if there were 17 shots for the day, there'd be 17 index cards.
That's right.
Graphics showing where
exactly where it was. And it really
marvelous
set. Quickly.
Everything you see there is meticulously captured to.
It made it easy to believe you're in the time period, too. Not that there's that much more you have to do as an actor, but it was an easy world to play
important.
In.
Yeah, I felt it was important.
You could...
wonder what that smoke did for us.
What broke?
I don't know what happened. I was watering...
So this is the finale of what was a short story in Shepherd. This one little vignette. Woven into a movie with about 10 or 12 such vignettes. And again, the only through line in the movie is your quest for the BB rifle.
Right.
No other grand idea. It's almost a...
And the quest for the BB rifle was...
Part of the story. That was a story, too.
That was its own single story, though, right?
Yes, right. That story was its own single story.
And there's about a dozen of them that are used?
Dozen stories.
Short stories.
It'll be about 8 or 10, I think. Mm. Plus things I took from Shepherd's college tours that
moments
that are not written, that he never wrote them. He just told the stories. I don't believe the tongue, for instance. I don't think it's written. I may be wrong, but I'm pretty sure. Tongue to the light pole is part of his act. The old
man stood so good here.
Stammering as he tried to come up with a real crusher. All he got out was...
Not a finger!
It's interesting about this, some other people notice, is the sexuality of this. The old man is bringing in, this is pornography in effect, and he's bringing in the real sexual world into Mom's family world, and there's that dichotomy that's always existed in human culture, and this is inappropriate. And it's clearly an unspoken part of that battle which went on in the Midwest in the 30s and 40s, just like it does today.
And the kids trying to get their hands on Dad's porno as well.
Yep.
Literally in this movie.
Yep.
I grabbed a couple of my dad's Playboys.
Later that night, alone in the backyard, he buried it next to the garage. Now, I could never be sure, but I thought that I heard the sound of taps being played. Gently.
Going to get my own man for Christmas? Now what? A rose that squirts. People come to smell it, squirts them. I'm getting my own man a flint gun.
Oh, you know what it is to do a tracking shot like this? When you're on a tight budget, tight schedule, and you kind of have that
study cam.
No.
That was all pre-study cam, right?
Yep. No. Well, no, actually, study cam.
Just not on this budget.
And just not on this budget, right? It was a track, and
it never felt that small, though, for us. I mean, it was not like we had time.
We had
days.
We had the time. I made sure that everyone was committed to the idea, and no one was getting an enormous amount of money.
It was except for you.
It was a work of love. Even I was getting a fairly modest amount.
All right, class. I have your Christmas theme for you. I'm pleased. In general, you did very well. However, I was disappointed in the murder.
The reality of life with the bullies.
C+, what a great symbol. The perfect symbol of mediocrity. You made it. You're not a failure, but C+.
Oh, no. You shoot your eye out? My mother must have gotten to Miss Shields. There could be no other explanation.
You'll shoot your eye out! You'll shoot your eye out!
Was there no end to this conspiracy of irrational prejudice against Red Ryder and his peacemaker?
So Gene wrote first, you'll shoot your eye out, one time in the story, and then it became expanded throughout.
Yeah, then I made everyone say it.
I wonder if that was a popular phrase back then, or if he had heard that.
It was definitely popular. I mean, now here we are in Toronto.
Right. This was
wonderful.
Painful.
Stuff, finding...
This is all real.
Great neighborhoods and
you had
totally compatible with Indiana.
Just heaving these things at me.
I know.
I don't know who it was. My tears got pretty real. Listen to this. Nothing to think about that.
We whacked you pretty good.
We did. And it took me a couple of times to walk into frame perfectly.
Right.
There you go. Those are all pretty real right there.
Yep. Zach is so good. What a great bully.
They were great together.
Yes, they were.
I was very blessed.
Yano, I found also at the last minute. So I love details like the trolley there way in the background. I went to some trouble to move it in every shot. There it is again. He had a tough time with those braces, too. And you worked him over pretty good.
I haven't seen it as well, but I think I say Crad and Rat sticking out Pop and Snogger. And yes, I do. Maybe I'm wrong.
No, you say it.
Fun scene to do.
Yep. All in real snow. There's a young lady, I think it's that one right there, on when I did the sequel to Baby Geniuses in Toronto last year. Her little boy is one of the one-and-a-half-year-old babies. And she was in that scene, and she came up to me to say we had found her son. Yeah.
Here's all the stuff that was
her right there. She remembered all this, had grown up with it, lived with it, and couldn't believe now her little boy, 20 years later.
Heard of people under extreme duress speaking in strange tongues. I became conscious that a steady torrent of obscenities and swearing of all kinds was...
Took days to learn that.
She had to pull you off, too.
Yeah. I wasn't giving up on him.
See, now here are the kind of moments that the mother does care here. I mean, clearly there's heart here. And this happens with both the father and the mother enough during the film to obviate the other kind of distant feeling you get from them. They're not... They're struggling to survive, but they're pretty good parents.
Come on in here. Okay.
He had it coming.
That's right. Can only be the tough guy for so long.
Settle down. I want you to go in there and lie down in your room for a while.
We got along surprisingly well. I mean, we're young guys, and so every now and then you'd have a tiff or wrestle around or something.
Yeah,
but
never aware of it.
There was really never a problem.
Now go lie down.
Zach was a lot older than us, and although he might have been our age and just bigger, I was 12 and turned 13 during this, playing
Zach
9.
Zach was only 14.
Yeah, and I think Scotty was even a couple years older, so we were all playing young and looked really young. Ian was right around the right age, I think.
Scotty had already starred in a film that
he had done, the toy
Richard Pryor,
with Jackie Gleason, yeah. But we were all a little bit older.
This is just a moment that occurred to me to put him under here.
But again, makes your point of the love that
she
occasionally shows.
Yeah, there's much more affection here than Daddy's gonna kill Ralphie.
Not.
Yes, he is too.
No, he's not. I promise you, Daddy is not going to kill Ralphie. Why don't you come on out of there? Huh? Would you like some milk?
Okay.
Here you go. All right. I'll see you later.
There's some of the old props in there wedged in with him, too.
Yeah, you're a good eye there.
There's that box that's above the sink. Gosh, I really do cry a lot in this movie.
Yep.
The wave of terror broke over me. You'll know what I said. The awful things that I said.
There's our dogs. Sometimes they would go where we needed them to go. When I came to do the sequel, MGM really wanted a dog, and I had great reluctance. Had kids, come on. But we ended up with the terrier, and he was fabulous. Much better than beagles are classically kind of dull, slow-witted dogs. They're not beloved by trainers, but the little...
This is a moment we can all relate to.
Yep.
Sitting down with Dad after something went on.
Yeah, I wasn't going to be killed after all.
You left these on the radio again. Now try not to do that anymore.
So what else happened today?
Oh, nothing much. Ralphie had a fight.
A fight? What kind of a fight?
He knows if he wants to think about it, but watch his look. He's taking it in. Yeah, this is bull. But I don't want to bother with it. She's got it under control.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Boys will be boys.
Yep, exactly.
I slowly began to realize I was not about to be destroyed.
The Chicago Bears. Terror of the Midway.
From then on, things were different between me and my mother.
Well... More like Chicago Chipmunks, baby. The Bears, never.
Strange. Even something as monumental as the Scott Farkas affair, as it came to be known, was pushed out of my mind as I struggled for a way out of the impenetrable BB gun web in which my mother had me trapped.
Santa! Yeah, Santa!
Of course, Santa! The big man, the head honcho. The connection. My mother had slipped up this time.
Here we are. There's downtown, the people of Cleveland. We had everything we needed. It's tough to control that much of a town. You try that in L.A., you'll get it, but...
And on a small budget, too. I mean, these are pretty big-looking scenes to have all these extras. And
you aren't kidding. And the parade is pretty substantial.
That's right.
We went in with Disney characters before we even got the right to do it. Fortunately, they were very sweet to us. We showed it to them. We would have had to cut it. And they said, nah. They realized it was good promotion for them, too. And we're using it not to, we're using it in a way... that it is used. These characters are used
are
without permission
right.
in this parade, so...
And we shot here, I think, just after Christmas, so the downtown had been set up a little bit for Christmas, right? And they left all this stuff up?
They left some of it, yeah. Not too much of it, actually. The department store, we had to do all of that.
Mom, hush!
Shut up, Ralphie!
The city went to extremely... That's a lot of area to light. You can see what Reg Morris is lighting. This is not small. This is not a little movie, in other words.
No, it's not, and it doesn't really feel like it.
To make Cleveland in 1983 look like Cleveland 1940 is, fortunately, a whole rank of buildings had been taken down, which opened the city center up a great deal. There's one row of buildings missing where the statue is in the middle there.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a great break for us, because a lot of us, those great vistas... And, of course, we built this...
This was a blast for us.
Yeah.
You couldn't keep us off this thing during lunch and the breaks and everything.
It was for real.
We invented every way to get down that slide. And Ian really didn't want to go.
No, he's...
He genuinely was afraid of it.
Yeah, and when he's...
And we finally sit him down, those tears were real. He was a little freaked out by it.
The near tears were real. He's so great at sitting there with his mouth open.
And what do you want?
Come on. Go.
All the other kids are looking at him.
And here comes Shepard.
Yep, in his cameo.
This is Gene Shepard and his wife, Lee. Right there, that's Mr. Shepard, the man who created all this. And I don't think most people caught the fact that that voice was the same.
It was the same voice.
Come on.
Of course, we couldn't close down Higby, so we had to shoot after hours. So, again, this was a...
Now, this kid was interesting.
Yeah.
Where did we find him? We just sort of made this up, didn't we?
I invented him, yeah.
Yeah.
I just saw him doing this, so I worked out with him, and...
He was really, like, wearing... I mean,
he's weird.
Yeah, he was an interesting guy.
Yeah.
And I don't know how much you told me about it. I think he just let us go, because I was... pretty freaked out by the kid.
Yes, you were. They just don't just keep him. Don't know what to do. Just get rid of him.
Exactly.
Local extra here, and she did him. I read her over in a corner. I wanted to do more with this, and she was terrific.
Thinking.
I like to live in the back. Yeah. I like the thinness.
He really did. Shades of the old man coming out there.
Right. Jeff Gillen, who I grew up with in Florida when I started my career, my first film, Children Shouldn't Play with Dead Things.
Was that your first film?
Yep. And it was not my first film. My first two never got, actually, I don't talk about them. My first film, we did it for $40,000. I had some control. People love these two crazed elves. That came to me on the spur of the moment.
Merry Christmas!
9 o'clock, great Scott, the store's going to close.
Santa can't wait all Merry Christmas.
How many days were we here? Do you remember?
In the pharma store, I think only two. We had to get in and out of there.
We have fun. I think he was pretty upset by the slide, too. It was pretty big when you were that small.
It was a ride.
It wasn't as big, but it was a... Ian really didn't like this.
The balls fell off. That didn't help either.
I always love this reaction.
And this is a real
first
moment.
First time he ever went down, yeah.
Yeah, I made sure he didn't. I didn't
make sure you're rolling.
He's upset. He definitely was bothered. I didn't make him rehearse it or anything because he didn't want to do it. This lady's got a great face,
too. Were these just locals?
Yep.
They're great.
Ho, 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 ho. Then what's your name, little boy?
Hey, kid. Hurry up. The store's closing. Come on.
So
very sadistic.
Yeah.
Possessed world.
Especially Santa on Santa on Christmas Eve, his last sprint.
Christmas, little boy.
My mind had gone blank. Frantically, I tried to remember what it was I wanted. I was blowing it, blowing it.
Come on, Santa. How about a nice football?
Football? Football? What's a football? Without conscious will, my voice squeaked out.
Football. Okay, get him out of here.
A football.
Now, this was a redo, right? We came back and redid
this.
Yeah,
we did.
This close-up.
Yeah, it didn't work. So
yeah, because you can see it's pretty tight, and you blur out the background, this one coming up.
Right.
And I had a hard time, this one right here.
Yep. There's no people in the background.
Don't listen. But it works.
Oh, yeah.
Ho, ho, ho.
Ho, ho, ho.
And where the wizard, the wonderful wizard, and there they are. I'll see you in a while.
We're in an MGM film, so we're okay with the Wizard of Oz. We could
feeling pretty safe about doing
it. We could do that one. Yeah, we had automatic permission.
Did you see Santa Claus?
Yeah.
Did you tell him what you wanted for Christmas?
And here's the old man at his...
I think Ian's still bothered.
Yeah. So Ralph never gives up. That's the spirit. Yeah, she actually hadn't written to Santa Claus.
Okay, time to go. Bye-bye, Chris. Merry Christmas!
We're actually in this, we're off the top of the set, but I think I had to use it, but you couldn't tell, it was so dark. We TV cuts it off here.
I'm not colorblind.
I'm not colorblind either.
See, I told you it was green.
Hold it, don't anybody move! Hold it right there! A fuse is out.
The fuses were from your life? I remember my dad putting too many things into the atlas as well.
Yeah, some of them were amazing.
Pretty common.
They would put a fuse, an extension inside an extension with an extension.
Isn't that pretty?
Oh, God.
And now that star is crooked.
That star is perfectly straight.
Hey, God, it's all right.
Oh,
right. I am. Just let me get it fixed. All right.
Yes.
Hey, perfect.
Here, now this is one of the very few times in the film that you've used score. To actually create a moment. It's been so subtle, and it's always been source. But it really, really works here.
Thank you. That was very much a part of the scheme. We wanted as much source music. The radio was our life. It just literally filled my mother's life, was the radio. And so much of the music you hear, we got Bing Crosby. We got some incredible people and singing in this movie. And the score itself is based largely on classical or... Like these little things are little vignettes of music, but Paul Zaza and Carl Zacher, Carl had done my music and all my film up to this. After this, Zaza took over, and for the next 20 years, he's done all 12 of my films since then.
It's so subtle. And you got to tell us how this was done.
Yep, this was put in overnight as well. Again, same thing, the set and the location. That's the set in Toronto.
Swapping out, right, and then...
Then that's over your shoulder in Cleveland.
But this is... How did you do all this?
Just water. It was a freezing night, so we just...
Actually created it.
Created it. They just sprayed it until it...
Which is amazing.
Amazing we didn't kill all the trees, but they actually did measurements to... They had
pretty, to get the shot.
They had a pretty good idea of what it would tolerate. It was really important to have that fantasy of... Now that's a little bit of the wall we built to take with
inside.
Us.
Yeah, it looks Seamless.
It's,
you did a fine job, Bob.
That's as classic a Christmas tree as I can remember from my Christmases in the late 40s when I was a little guy. Everything is... That's mine. Everything's his.
More source music?
Yep. That's mine.
There's some of the great old toys, too.
Yeah.
Is it spray?
I think in times like that, you would give us leeway and say, just run under the tree and...
Yeah, and then say
you play
certain
all
things.
Years and you start looking for your gift and
right.
just sort of play off each other.
Yes. Let them wing it a little bit. Just give them focus. I had Ian say, just keep saying everything's yours.
And just have me going in search, and then hopefully a moment would come.
Right, and it did.
Yeah, Ralphie, you play Santa this time.
Well, who should I start with? Well, give Randy a present, and I think I see Aunt Clara's gift to you right over there. She always.
And here's the old man's great moment coming.
Ralphie, come on, come
got the classic metaphor for the terrible present. It's either got to be a tie or socks. So it was socks. This is
socks
a
for the kids.
Good moment. Nothing needs to be said.
Christmas had come, officially. We plunged into the cornucopia, quivering with desire and the ecstasy of unbridled avarice.
Did they get a tie this year?
It's a mouthful. That's Shepard. That is intellectual. That's Shepard. But they didn't know what any trouble understanding it. We had a shot where he threw that into the tree and knocked
right.
it, parsed it over, but this seemed too much, so I skipped it.
This is pretty famous.
Yep.
I'd say of all things people bring up when discussing the movie, this is definitely brought up.
Yep.
You know, I still have it.
The suit?
Yeah, I don't know if you guys had a bunch of versions, but you had given me it.
Huh.
So it's...
That's probably worth something. I wish I had all the automobiles.
The original pink. And you gave me, I still have the gun, obviously, that you guys gave me.
Wow. Biggest mistake I ever made in my life is I had the pigmobile and Porky's, the big Hudson pink
yeah.
at Porky's. I gave that away about 2 years after the movie. Someone told me it's worth about $150,000 today.
Oh, that's too bad. No, you guys were kind. You gave me a gun with the one with the compass and the stock, the sundial, and the plaque on it.
Oh, great.
Oh, I see something. Randy.
Here's another little bit slightly bawdy, slightly. We're pushing
but the kids
it.
Laugh at it even though they don't get it.
Of course.
Because it's just fun.
Yeah.
It's like life. A cartoon joke, yeah.
Thanks a lot. I wonder what it could be. Only one way to find out, isn't there? Well, it's a blue ball.
Oh, it's a bowling ball. Thank you, darling. Thank you. Yes, very much. Very much.
Ralphie, we're waiting. Oh, come on, Mom. Right now.
You did a great job with this.
Two bunny eyes. Yeah, that's
just
classic.
Holding it, keeping them waiting.
Classic Shepherd. A lot of kids have been through the pain of this.
Come down here so I can see you better.
I just hope that Flick would never spot him, as the word of this humiliation could easily make life at Warren G. Harding School a veritable hell.
It just felt weird being in it. This was a pretty easy scene to play.
Great line for Darren. That one I got.
He looks like a deranged Easter bunny.
That's not...
He does, too. He looks like a pink nightmare. Are you happy wearing that?
Again, there's the humanity. The father's... He's being a good father here.
That's for sure.
Hang it up!
My God, would you look at that mess? Mm-hmm.
The Christmas coma that sets in.
Good line.
A couple hours after it.
Well, you can do it again.
Mm. Yeah, this wine's not bad. Well, it's not good either, but you want a sip?
Yeah. No, you don't. Oh. Did you have a nice Christmas? Yeah, pretty nice.
Yeah, did you get everything you wanted?
Almost.
Almost, huh? Well, that's life. Well, it's always next Christmas. Yeah. Hey.
What a great actor the old man is. Is that something I see over there? The audience gets it right now. They're onto it.
It's great because he's the only guy, really, that Ralphie doesn't reach out to ask for it.
Yep.
He's saying that to his teacher, to his mom. His pals know it.
That's a good point.
The one who gets it for him is the only one he really didn't ask.
Mm-hmm.
Santa Claus
probably. Amazing how much this BB air rifle is in the center of the culture, too. It's big today, obviously, Tim, but back then it was.
Now, the compass and the clock and the sundial, is that real? Because you guys had built this little sundial in. That's hard to see on the stock, right? Was that?
It's real, I think.
You can see the little white dot.
It depended on Shepard. I don't know whether we researched it or not. Mm-hmm. It probably was real.
Yeah, I'm sure, knowing Gene. I don't think he would have taken license there.
Careful. They run all over. Close it up.
Look at Mom taking it in. He's the good guy she married after all.
Oh, I still say those things are dangerous. Shut up. Put on your galoshes and your coat. It's cold out.
I had one when I was 8 years old.
What if you hurt some stuff? Ruby, your coat! Don't shoot any animals or birds.
Except the Bumpus' dog.
Be careful, Ralphie.
Now, it is well known throughout the Midwest that the old man is a turkey junkie. A bona fide golly turkicanus freak. A few days before Christmas, his eyes would begin to gleam with a wild and ravenous light.
Now, this sequence, this is, we came back and recreated this in Toronto.
Which was freezing.
Yep. And this is Cleveland. And then all the tighter shots here, though, are recreated on the set. It's in Toronto. And the one shooting towards you, that's Cleveland.
I remember how cold it was. And when we were in Cleveland, we have a heater, and that's on the set, right?
Yes, that's set. And then we had to rebuild the back porch.
My eyes are right. The BB must have hit my glasses. My glasses! Oh, no, where are my glasses?
That house that we used was just a shell. It was pretty empty. We had little mini heaters in there.
Yep.
That didn't do much. I had on a pair of long johns under there, I think. Glasses too.
Were they right?
Yeah, he just had bought a bunch of them.
No.
I was the tortoise shell guy.
For a moment, I thought, I'll fake it. They'll never know the lens is gone.
Oh, no.
Rapidly, my mind evolved a spectacular plot. Let's see, an icicle, falls off the garage and hits me in the eye. It would work. It had to work. Quickly, I whipped up some tears.
Ralphie? What's the matter, honey? Oh, what happened? What happened? Let me see that.
There was a bicycle, and it fell off the car,
right,
and it hit me.
What?
No, it's okay. Just meet your funny.
Good night.
Randy? Wake up, Randy. Good.
It hit my teeth.
broke my glass. I'm trying to get out of the way. Why?
Oh, see, it's just a little bump. Oh, see? You're lucky it didn't cut your eye. Those icicles have been known to kill people.
What's going on up there?
Nothing. We'll be right down. You stay away from that turkey. It's got an hour to cook. You'll get worms.
But what about my glasses?
Is this the only time we break the fourth wall here, or is there one other?
No, there's one other. You do it in the fantasy sequence.
In the fantasy, that's right.
Hold it off.
But I left my gun outside.
Yeah, well, when you get dressed, you can go out, get your gun. You can't hold that on there.
Life is like that. Sometimes at the height of our revelries, when our joy is at its zenith, when all is most right with the world.
Terry and the Pirates.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah.
That's another example of it.
It's getting those dogs to go by like that, believe me.
Two of them really did go at it here.
Yep.
Right there.
Yep.
That's pretty real.
I watch this one come in, to head for the door and come back and grab it. Last one out the door, had it in his mouth. That's in Cleveland, and that's in Toronto in the studio.
Papa says! Papa says!
Heavenly aroma still hung heavy in the house, but it was gone, all gone. No turkey, no turkey.
Is the next scene in the book?
No, that's my invention.
Is it?
And look at the name of the place, people. A couple people have picked it up. It's amazing the detail of Bowling is the name of the restaurant. Look and see what it really is, though. Bowling.
Mm-hmm.
They converted a bowling alley.
Made it. Dropped the W.
Dropped the W and made it bowling.
These guys were pretty good.
They were wonderful, yeah. We had to stop and think of the political correctness of it. We talked it over with them, and they said, don't be silly. We just listen. No, we don't do the L's.
We'll actually try.
Yeah.
The proof was there.
And so we aren't laughing.
Balls of holy, la 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 la.
It's nice to do it all in one shot, too.
Take the holy power of holy.
Linda really couldn't stop laughing that day.
I know.
She was so taken with these guys.
Yeah.
She just could not stop.
Stop. Sing something else.
I mean, it's human. It's real. It's not deriding anybody.
It's the only place that open up.
Yep.
That's it.
Kitchen, bring food.
I don't know if she was expecting this.
No, she wasn't. And I didn't. They didn't expect this at all. I didn't tell him he was going to do it.
She just couldn't stop.
Oh, yes, it's a beautiful duck. Yes, it really is. It's but you see,
what?
It's smiling at me.
It's all just one.
Yep, this is done.
No one was in the room. He just let it all go.
One take. I think I did another take for safety.
Would live in our memories as the Christmas when we were introduced to Chinese turkey. All was right with the world.
Now we come to the gentle, sentimental moment that we've earned and can certainly get away with.
Mm-hmm.
That's real. Our snow, we never had any, except in Toronto, that we got some snow at the school.
Well, the exterior of the school was real?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, we had snow the night before.
Ooh, is that beautiful?
This is one of the few scenes without kids in it.
Mm-hmm.
If not the only one.
the lamp thing. They had a little, their lamp moment. And that was about it. A lot of notes about these two little touches. There's just the old man, the touch in the back and the arm.
Notes how that they were too much?
No, just they were just right. You know, mm-hmm.
As we draw to the end of the film and you look back now, is there anything that you wish you had done differently within the making of the film?
Not much. That's the truth of it. I mean, the performances feel rich and warm to me, and it has the right tone. It's odd combination of reality and spoof and satire.
It's almost hard to talk about because it just works.
Yeah.
You know, it just works and people like it.
Yeah, from the beginning it was critically pretty much 90% jumped on.
Nothing necessarily that we can say is going to make it better.
I had done Tribute with Jack Lemmon, getting Academy Award nomination, Murder by Decree with these great elitist actors. So Porky's was supposed to be a sellout. I also spent 20 years preparing Porky's. Wasn't a sellout. It was a meaningful film. Now it's become a classic.
Mm-hmm.
This was me coming back to the director that they had all, but were still unwilling to forgive for a while.
You don't know how these things are going to turn out, and you do your best, and we are blessed to be a part of this, which has had a lasting impact, and so it certainly ranks in a unique way, certainly amongst things that I've ever done. It's just something that's really stood the test of time and is going to be around for a long time.
There's no way it'll disappear unless there's a shock to the culture that we don't anticipate, because it pays for 24 hours all night Christmas. It kind of dominates Christmas for television.
Well, Bob, thanks for having me. This has been really, really fun.
You're kidding? This is great. Fantastic.